Michael Johnson in the second of a series of podcasts with the Metaswitch Company, talking about the networks and how the networks are transforming themselves and some of the tools that are going to be going into that network transformation, given the prominence now of the internet in telephone communication and its importance. And we've been particular on the first podcast talking a little bit about IMS and how that has been influencing things. And we're going to move a little bit further into that subject, a little bit deeper. My guests today are Roger Ward, who's the head of Network Evolution Strategies for British Telecom's Chief Technology Office, and also with John Rowland, who's a software developer manager with Metaswitch. They're both based out of London, from which we have them on the line right now. Welcome both of you to the podcast.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Now, Mr. Ward, I'm going to start with you. Why don't you tell me a little bit about what you do at British Telecom and introduce the idea of the multi-service forum?
Yeah, well, the work I do at BT is very much BT are very, very keen to get standard implementations of technology because obviously that gives us economies of scale. And it's very important to work not just with the major standard bodies in the world like the ITU and ETSI, but also with some significant fora which really make a difference in driving through practical multi-vendor implementation agreements. And a lot of my time is spent working with a forum called the MSF, the Multi-Service Forum. We're now in our eighth year of operation, and it really is one of the major fora in terms of making a difference in looking at practical implementation of next-generation networks.
Now, tell me a little bit about what British Telecom is doing. I don't know if people have a true sense of just how big BT is in the world of telecommunications.
BT is pretty big, yes. If I look over the next 5 years, we have a major program to implement voice over IP in our public switch network. We call it the 21st Century Network, which I believe is some $10 billion worth of investment over 5 years to totally change out the PSTN into an IP-based network, doing all the sort of stuff for real that folks in the industry have been talking about on PowerPoint charts now for so long.
Great. And now we'll switch over to Mr. Rowland. Tell me a little bit about what you do as a software development engineer at Metaswitch.
Well, the main things we're involved with are mainly adding new services and moving forward towards future network technologies, as Roger was talking about. Sort of next-generation networks are key. Although traditionally Metaswitch has been involved in deploying more legacy systems and taking over sort of a migration path between old legacy telecom systems, which use old sort of basic phones, to the new world of VoIP, where we've got a variety of new services that become available. And obviously that leverages into the future-looking stuff of the IMS network and the services that are provided there. So my day-to-day work is very much sort of designing the software that runs on our hardware in order to leverage that technology so that we can deploy it in sort of real-world scenarios.
Great, thank you. I'm going to fold the question, my first question, back to you, Mr. Ward. Tell me a little bit about who some of the supporting service providers and vendors are in the multi-service forums, because I know that when they're drawing these big standards together, you do have to get a lot of people together to get on the train, because this network transformation is coming. So, you know, the more players in the beginning, the better. So who are some of the service providers behind this?
Yeah, I mean, in the MSF, we have some 40 or so principal members. And we pride ourselves really that we're a carrier-led forum. So as well as BT, we have in the US, we have Verizon. In the Far East, we have NTT and KT. We also have mobile operator Vodafone. And then we've got a number of major, the usual major players in the industry as vendors, ranging from Cisco through Nortel, Siemens. And then, of course, we've got the medium-sized players, the innovative players. I guess Metaswitch falls into that category. And it's a very exciting mix of players. And one of the things that's really quite difficult is how you bring so many people like that together to do something useful in a voluntary environment, which, of course, is the world of fora. And I think it says a lot for the MSF that over time we have evolved a very meaningful agenda for collaboration, that we're actually able to bring such a diverse set of folks together, four meetings face-to-face a year around the globe, and actually produce real specifications that really impact the industry.
Well, how do you coordinate all of these folks? I mean, really, why do we need MSF right now? Because I know that, you know, VoIP is certainly coming, and it's something that, you know, voice over internet, telephone, and the whole system, the whole network transforming to this is definitely in the pipeline. It's nothing that can be avoided. So why do we really need an MSF forum? Can all these companies sort of come up with the ideas on their own and sort of just check in with each other?
Well, I think the devil is always in the detail, and there is a space, I think, in the industry that it makes sense to collaborate rather than compete. And I think, you know, BT can get no end of vendors to come and talk to BT for specific contracts, but actually to get a collaborative environment where a number of carriers can come together and collaborate on the things that make the essential difference to implementing standards, but in enough depth that we're not just talking about protocol standards, but we're talking about implementation agreements. That is something that really is quite tough, and there still is an ongoing need for fora, particularly for the MSF. Certainly, there are a number of open issues which are continuing to be of interest to our members.
Looking at real-world deployments where MetaSwitch is sort of widely deployed in a range of different network scenarios in the places where people have contributed and been involved in fora like the MSF and have worked towards the interop events that have come out of that, then the deployability of the network, if you like, is much higher, and the problems we hit when we actually try to put it together in a real-world scenario are much reduced, and it really does add value from that point of view.
And so how does a company like yours, John Rowland, fit into that as an MSF-involved company? How does MetaSwitch fit into that picture?
Well, we've got sort of involvement. We've been involved with the MSF for quite a while. I think we might be one of the only vendors who's actually attended the GMI events in 2002, 2004, and then the upcoming one in 2006. From our point of view, interoperability is extremely important. I mean, the parent company of MetaSwitch, Data Connection, has a sort of a long heritage of networking protocols. And so from that point of view, we've always been interested in interoperability. And the MSF really brings that forward into the sort of the progressing telecoms world. On an individual basis, we've been involved technically as well in the MSF. So my predecessor, a guy called Paul Drew, was very involved with the MSF for several years and was heavily involved in coming up with the defined network architecture for the previous GMI event in 2004. He actually received an MSF Circle of Excellence Award from the MSF, recognizing part of that work. I took over from him about 6 months ago, and he was previously the chairman of the Architecture Working Group, and I'm now taking over, and I'm the vice chair of the Architecture Working Group. So MetaSwitch really recognizes the value that the MSF can bring, and so we're really keen to get involved and stay involved to allow basically the interoperability, which is the key thing that comes out of it, real deployment, not just sort of bits of drawings of boxes on paper. How does this actually work? How do we really deploy it?
Okay, well, we've established the reason for the MSF, for the MSF forums. Now, tell me a little bit about, you know, there's other forums in the world. There's 3GPP and ETSI. How do you avoid sort of overlapping with those other standards? I mean, you know, how does that work? Do you check in with them on a regular basis?
I think if you sort of place, certainly talking about 3GPP and ETSI, they tend to deal with functional architectures and they tend to deal with a definition of protocol. MSF is very much dealing with physical implementations. So if you like, the MSF is actually sitting at a level of practical implementation below the other bodies. Obviously, 3GPP has played a major role and continues to play a major role in the introduction of IMS, particularly coming originally from a mobile network basis. ETSI, particularly in its TISPAN group, Regional Standards Development Organization for Europe, has done a lot of the work taking the original IMS spec for mobile and actually seeing what had to change to actually implement it in a fixed network. But even so, we believe, and our members, obviously, they wouldn't come and spend time in the work that the MSF does, that there is still a lot of implementation, practical implementation detail that still needs to be worked through, that sits below the protocol definition work that comes out of the other standards bodies. And I do believe that the MSF is unique in its GMI program, its Global MSF Interoperability Program, that it has now been successfully organizing every 2 years. We've got a big one coming up this October, GMI 2006, which brings together in laboratories around the globe testing opportunities for all the work that the MSF has been doing over the last 2 years.
How important are these interoperability events? I know that we have one here in the U.S. called InterOp, which deals a lot with VoIP and other kinds of data switching solutions there. How important is the GMI conference? And I'm going to get back to you just a moment, John, about some of the issues in getting some of these vendors together. But what's the importance of a conference like this?
It's not so much a conference. It's actually real carrier labs, which are interconnected together around the globe. So in the UK, we have BT and Vodafone are getting together using BT facilities at BT's research and development establishment at Astral Park. In US, we have Verizon with their labs just outside at Waltham, just outside Washington. And also we have some of the overflow participants there are picked up in the University of New Hampshire Interop Lab. In Japan, we have NTT in their Tokyo laboratories. In Korea, we have KT and ETRI joining forces. And all of that environment is a lot of it is meshed together using managed MPLS circuits provided by BT Global Services, but also some of it is actually using Internet 2. And we actually provide an environment where vendors can come into any of those labs and fully test out MSF implementation agreements in a highly distributed networked environment, which we believe is very reflective of the sort of networks that carriers are trying to implement. In an extended test environment to actually prove out some of the detail that we've been working together on the MSF over the past 2 years.
And I'm going to ask you, John Rowland from Metaswitch, what are some of the challenges involved and some of the issues in getting these different vendors' IMS implementations to work together? Because I know that that's, you know, when it comes down to it, you're the one who's got to actually do it with the nuts and bolts, right?
Yeah, absolutely. There are a variety of issues that can hit. I mean, the standards that define the IMS network, mainly coming out of 3GPP, and the standards that the MSF has put together, are inevitably open to interpretation in some cases, and so different vendors could have done things very slightly differently. I mean, the bulk of the IMS network depends on a networking protocol called SIP, the Session Initiation Protocol, which is a text-based protocol that flows between the different elements in the network. To set up calls and to manage sessions and that sort of thing. Being a text-based protocol, and it's got lots of extensions that are defined in various different standards documents, there's just a lot of stuff there that could be very slightly different between different vendors and how they've implemented it. So just getting the very low-level details of that sorted out and making sure that if you receive a message, for example, that's not quite what you're expecting, it all copes, it all hangs together. Those are some of the trickier things. There are also sort of more general things like the timings of things, the way the network's actually deployed, the physical connectivity. So there are a lot of things. But I think one of the key things that's interesting about the GMI event in 2006 and the fact that we'll be testing IMS is that IMS is still very new. And this is really the first interop event that's going to be trying to put it together. And I think to a large extent, we just don't know at the moment what some of the issues we're going to hit are. I think it's going to be exciting from that point of view because we'll discover that and we'll see, does IMS really work? Can we really deploy this?
In a sense, we are presenting a global test environment within which vendors can come and test out implementations according with MSF implementation agreements in a number of practical physical scenarios that the MSF has defined, which we believe reflect the practical reality that carriers are seeking to deploy this kit in. And I would say to people, you know, if everything worked, if we have 100% success, it wouldn't be worth doing. And if nothing works, it won't be worth doing, because where we're trying to get to, and I think given the maturity of IMS as a technology, we will be in an environment where there will certainly be lessons still to be learned. And that is really the important thing for the MSF. And we can update our implementation agreements so that we can offer those implementation agreements to the industry to be used in real procurement situations.
Now, what has been the effect of the past GMI testing situations? And are there any things that came out of that that are being used today by the networks?
Oh, very much so. I mean, if I look at my own company, I mean, GMI 2004, the sort of hot topics then was very much implementing distributed soft switch architecture. And certainly, had it not have been for the MSF, BT would not have been in a position to have available to it a specification for the H.248 access and trunk gateways that are now going into our 21st century network program. But by supporting the work of the MSF, we were able to draw on the MSF implementation agreement, which was truly independent of BT, and it wasn't a vendor-specific implementation. It's what we call a multi-vendor implementation agreement, which has actually been very helpful to us. And because of the work of GMI 2004, that specification was available in some considerable detail.
And what effects have you seen, John Rowland, at Metaswitch of past involvement with the GMIs?
Yes, we've had quite a significant impact. I mean, our development cycle, as we put forward the subsequent releases of our product with extra function in each release, has been quite closely tied to the sequence of GMI events. I mean, we used GMI 2004 as a sort of proof of concept for our distributed soft switch architecture before we actually deployed it in the field. And the same is largely true of the GMI 2006 moving forward to sort of IMS network architectures. So yes, it's very closely tied, and it does have a big impact for us. We do use that as a very useful value add to our development cycle.
And in summary, Roger Ward, what do you see as sort of the next sort of step of things going with British Telecom? Because this is right now, this seems to be really new ground with a great sort of revolution in telephony going to the internet and all of this technology coming on board. What do you see as the biggest effect of all of these technologies and this great nexus of meetings and minds?
Well, I suppose rather than looking to BT, I'd really look at some of the work that's being done in the MSF to actually see what we do after GMI 2006. And we've had a team there working on building on our success. And we've got a number of open issues that we believe that it will make sense to continue to work together on. And I think one of the things I'd say is that, you know, for the foreseeable future, it's going to be a network of networks. Although we all talk about converged network solutions, it's only really possible to, you know, to achieve nirvana if you're coming from an environment where you don't have any legacy and you don't have to interwork with anybody else. And as far as I can see, for the foreseeable future, we are going to see implementations which are, some will be very compliant with the latest things that the industry offer, whether it's an IMS architecture or whatever, and others will be less so, because of course there's always the commercial business cases to be made for deployment of this new technology. And so I guess at the end of the day, how we work together to actually provide the best way of delivering services to our customers, irrespective of the network that they happen to be on at the time, I think is something that will continue to exercise the work of the MSF as we go through the next 2 years.
Great. Well, thanks for being with us on the podcast today. I've been speaking today with Roger Ward, who's the head of Network Evolution Strategies for British Telecom's Chief Technology Office, and also John Rowland, who's a software development manager at the Metaswitch Corporation. And we've been talking today about IMS interoperability, and also about the GMI forums, which are coming up. Roger Ward from BT, is there a website that one can go to if one would like to read a little bit more about MSF and also about the GMI event?
Yeah, the MSF has a very good website. It can be accessed at msforum.org. A lot of the information is available for free public access. Obviously, there are some member-only areas, but certainly a lot of what we're doing in GMI 2006 can be found on the public side of that website.
Okay, well, Roger Ward from BT and John Rowland from Metaswitch, it's been great having you on the podcast today. Very informative, very exciting, and we'll look forward to future podcasts about exploring some of this great new world as the network transforms itself. Thanks for being with us on the podcast.
Thank you, Michael.